All right, here's our TSN Hockey Insider, Bob McKenzie. How you doing, Bob?
Excellent, boys. How you doing today?
Good, good.
We're doing
Ask
well.
Ask him a question, Hazy. Hazy well, wants to know, Bobby, if like yeah. we ever had a question like in the future, we understand your time's running out here on this show. Are we allowed to just fire up the Bobby Sell and say, what are your thoughts on this?
Well,
I said, no
yeah.
way.
Well, you could try. and whether or not I pick up the phone would entirely hinge on A, whether I'm sober, B, whether I have an answer to the question, and C, whether I think I might have anything to add. But in a lot of cases, you might say, oh, I wonder what Bobby Mac thinks, and I'm listening to you guys, and oh, they're going to call me? I have no idea what I think about that. I don't even care. I'm not answering the phone.
I don't even care.
But, yeah. But as I said, if I'm not too deep into my cups and it's a pleasant day and I'm sitting there and I thought, yeah, I wouldn't mind talking about that, you go for it. And I just have to work out a little fee schedule with
right.
With the Jeffy boy here on the the emergency call-in line. So
the bat line, I like it. Yeah, the grappler will be, he'll be grappling that information for you. Believe me, that's, I just figure, you know, you're going to still have some scoops, and I'm
no,
picturing.
I'm not.
Oh, I'm
no,
picturing
I'm
it, Bob. I'm picturing.
No,
it.
I'm not. Yeah.
I'm picturing it.
No, I think. Wait, I even said this. First and foremost, I said that there's no chance that we could get a hold of you. So I will. I'll stand by that, and I think I will defend you in that right because you're being diplomatic. But there's no chance we're going to be able to get a hold of you. And then secondly, I think that you'll float a tweet once in a while here or there and be like, wouldn't surprise me if the Leafs
exactly.
were going to do something by
that's
midnight.
That's what I'm thinking.
And then that's it.
Line on Twitter. That's what I expect.
Well, there are, I am working trade deadline day. I am working free agent frenzy day. Actually, trade deadline day, I actually agreed to come in the night before. There's always a show the night before. So I said I would come in and do that as well. So
nice.
I will sometimes have to dust off the old phone and text and harass people for information and see what I get. But I might be out of practice, too. Might be just there window dressing.
All right.
Getting dregs and Pierre and Frank beverages or go over to the food table and see if I can cater for them or something.
Yeah, it'll be a whole new world. And, the Leafs will, who knows what they're going to do with the trade deadline next year. I don't think people are looking that far ahead. We're waiting to see what they're going to say tomorrow. Shanahan and Dubas are speaking tomorrow afternoon, and I guess it doesn't really matter what they say publicly. They can say anything. It doesn't mean that it's going to, go into action right away. But what's your sense of their mood? Not just based on Sunday and even the past week and a half, but the previous 70 games were nothing to write home about. This team has been disappointing all year. What do you sense the mood is in Leafland behind closed doors?
Well, I think, in most of those situations, I think there will be a little bit more urgency than in the past, but, from an outward point of view, in terms of what the public perception is, it won't change. That's, organizations don't run that way, I don't think. I'd be surprised if they come out guns blazing at the year-end post-mortem and we're not good enough and we got to do this and we got to do that. It'll be more like, we obviously need to make some changes and we need to get better, but we're going to work on that. And the calm, measured approach publicly, but I would think behind the scenes, all general managers and Dubas in particular, to varying degrees, they're process driven individuals, and nobody likes to hear that because talking about the process is really boring. It makes for bad radio, makes for bad TV. It makes for, if you're a fan, that's the last thing in the world you want to hear. And sometimes you like your GMs or coaches to come out and say, that's unacceptable what happened and what have you. So I'll be curious to see. I've not spoken. Under normal circumstances, I probably would have done, if I hadn't been in the throes of basically packing it in, I probably would have done a little more homework before they speak to find out what exactly it is, what the approach is. So now you've even got me curious. So see, this is why you probably don't want to call me in the future, because you just asked me a really good question, and I'm like, I don't really know.
I have no idea.
I think they've got, I think realistically they've got to read the room, and if you read the room, that the level of patience and and the fans' attitudes towards things right now. Everybody's a little owly, a little squirrely, and understandably so. Although, I mean, and no one wants to hear this, but, you know, how long has Dubas been the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs? Now, he's been in the organization for multiple years, but how long has he been running the show and calling the shots? And if it's whatever it is, a couple of years, that's not a long time for a general manager to do what he wants to do and to get where he needs to get to. Now, the flip side, and I've said this many times over, is with the way the salary cap is, and now adding in the added wrinkle of the pandemic and the financial ramifications of the pandemic, which is to suggest the flat salary cap just got flatter for a longer period of time, it's not as conducive to, you know, the process. And, you know, you're not in a position where you can say, well, you know what, took Washington 10 years to figure it out. It took St. Louis core group, you know, 6, 7, 8 years to figure it out. You know, you don't have Austin Matthews for 6, 7, 8 years. You don't, you know, it's a different climate now. And so everything gets accelerated a little bit, but not to the point where, you know, I would expect they're coming out guns blazing and saying, yeah, we're gonna trade at least one or two of our big name forwards, and we're gonna roll in here a Norris defenseman. But I think as you just look at the team realistically, you know, with the way I look at it, you got Riley and you got Muzzin, and those guys are top four defensemen on every team in the National Hockey League, pretty much in my mind. And so then you got to fill in the other two spots in your top four. Now, on any given day, might Dermott or Hall sneak into the four spot? Yeah, they might. You know, is Rasmus Sandin going to eventually be there? Yeah, I think he will. But I think in the short term, he's probably coming in as more of a third pair guy to start until he gets his game well rounded. So you need to get a, in my mind, they need to get a significant defenseman that would give them Riley, Muzzin, and this other significant defenseman. And, you know, in a perfect world, yeah, you'd like another big name at the four spot, but with the financial ramifications and the fact that you do have Dermott and you do have Hall, you know, maybe you've got Liljegren, we'll see where his game's at. You've got Sandin. You know, that's kind of the outlook that I see. And then the question becomes, how do you go out and get that one defenseman? Who is it? What's it going to cost you financially? What's it going to cost acquisition price? And away you go. You know, people are going to say, well, get Petrangelo. Well, you know, maybe so. The financial part of it might not work. The acquisition cost would be none because he's a free agent. That's presuming he wants to play in his hometown, which just because it's his hometown, it doesn't mean to me that he necessarily would.
Bob, you sense that, you know, maybe in these Zoom calls tomorrow that somebody would ask Shanny if he was on the same page as Dubas? Like from a philosophical standpoint,
somebody might. Yeah, you never know. And I honestly, I don't get. I know people. You know, the funny thing is that people look at the way that Brendan Shanahan played the game. You know, he fought, he hit, he was you know, power forward of sorts, but he was also a really high skilled guy that could score from far out, tops of the right circle, one timer, and make plays and all that sort of stuff. And they want to stereotype Dubas and say, well, he likes smaller players and he likes softer skilled guys. And, you know, and I don't necessarily buy the stereotypes as much. And I think you've seen over time, Dubas has started to, you know, the Kyle Clifford was brought in. Kyle Clifford was brought in because Dubas felt like they needed more of that. And I'm sure that he and Brendan Shanahan have lots of conversations philosophically, and I think anybody asking the question, are you guys on the same page? It's a good question to ask, I guess, but I'm going to presume that these guys talk every day and that Dubas is well attuned to what Shanny likes and Shanny's well attuned to what Dubas likes. And between the two of them, I wouldn't expect that there would be a significant void between what one thinks how the team should be built versus the other, to be honest with you.
We have Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider. So the Rangers win the lottery last night. They got the first pick. Is it a lock they take Lafreniere? And if so, you know, how does that maybe expedite their rebuild? How good could this team in New York be in the next year or two?
Oh, I never say anything's 100% lock, and I'm sure because the Rangers are they're an interesting team because they're kind of rebuilding and they're reloading or whatever, but they've got Panarin and they've got Zibanejad, and you know, so it's not like it's, you know, just a team with a whole bunch of kids on it. But they have made a real concerted effort over the last number of years to acquire first-round picks, hold on to their first-round picks for an organization that, quite frankly, used to just trade them away. But they were able to sign Chris Kreider and hold on to him. So it's not like they don't have veteran presence and that. So they're going to, and I think Jeff Gorton, because he's got a little bit, you know, he's got some eggs in the here and now basket with Panarin and Zibanejad and Kreider, and, you know, and then you've got, you know, some eggs in the futures basket with Kako and Buchnevich and some of the younger guys. You know, my guess is we will hear prior to the draft, well, you know, we're not shopping the first round pick, but if somebody calls, we'll listen. You know, LA might be a team that, in my mind, might have more interest in a guy like Stützle than Byfield. That's just anecdotal, just my opinion. But
yeah, okay.
But always skeptical. But anyways, you know, is there a premium to be paid? You know, if they said, hey, we can, you know, we're not 100% married to Lafreniere, but you know, if we are, you know, maybe we let on we're not, and see if there's anybody that wants to offer us something to not take somebody else, or, you know, play those games. So I think Jeff Gorton will keep all his options open, but the consensus, you know, number one, pretty clear consensus number one for most teams, I believe, is Lafreniere.
What do you think they'll do with him, Bobby? This kid's going to go on a stretch where he might not be on the ice doing productive things for, what, like 6-7 months?
Yeah, they're all in that boat. I mean, now, some of these European kids, whether, you know, if the European leagues get going here, I know they initially said they'd be going by September 1st or whatever, and then they've backed that off to October or November or whatever. So everybody's kind of in the same boat, although the Europeans might have a little bit of a leg up. But it's, I mean, to your point, though, it's not just Lafreniere. Oh, and if Lafreniere really wanted to, I mean, and I don't think it's worth it because, all things being equal, the NHL season is going to start in December 1, January 1, whatever the case may be. But he'd be, if the European leagues are going, I know his agent, Emily Castonguay, will be looking. I talked to her about this earlier. They would look at any and all options for him. So if, you know, if the German league's going in September or October, and they don't think the league's going to be playing until December or January, they could look at going to Europe. Now, the flip side of that is, do you really, now you're the number one overall pick. Everybody in the world's not playing as much hockey as they used to. And all across Canada and the United States, junior hockey, college hockey, it's all on the shelf for now. Or it could be on the shelf for now. If you're the number one overall guy and you're getting ready to go in the NHL, do you really want to go over and play in Europe and maybe, you know, risk getting your knee popped out or your shoulder or getting a concussion or what have you, when you know that, hey, I'm playing, if the Rangers take them, I'm playing for the New York Rangers and training camp could begin on November 1st. So let's get after it. And he's got to be, I think he's got to be NHL ready. He's had the 3 full years in junior. He's a late birthday. So, you know, he's just got to be patient like everybody else. But to your point, though, you know, I'm fascinated to see what the overall impact is on the development of all players, all young players, and the game of hockey, period. The American Hockey League could be in mothballs. Junior hockey could be in mothballs for a while. College. And you've got this huge swath of players. Every team in the NHL, all the people they've drafted and they've signed, and they're just not playing. And does that really significantly hinder their development? And what's the impact on the game overall for the next year or two or three?
Well, it gives a chance for the worst guy on the team to say the rest of his life, I would have made it if the league didn't get shut down. I'll say that.
That'd be my story.
That would be mine, too. I'd be like, hey, I would have been in the NHL, but, you know, they had to shut us down for you. That was my big development year. That's where I was going to leapfrog the rest of the league. But, yeah, the OHL, I mean, they announced last week that they're planning on playing, but they said they needed fans, didn't they, Bob? I thought that's what they said.
If they didn't say it officially, I can tell you for an absolute fact that the owners and the people who run junior hockey teams are not in a position where they could play a 60-game schedule and with no fans in the stands.
Right.
And if it's only, you know, small groups, even, I don't know what the equation, the financial equations will work out to, but, you know, everything they said, every date I hear, we're going to do this on this date, November 1 or December 1, and I know the OHL said December 1. For me, I'm assuming those are all targets until we get better clarification on what can or can't be done in terms of the size of gatherings. Because if you can only put 50 or 100 people together at any one time, I'd be really, really, really surprised if junior hockey across Canada is able to have a season with no more than 50 or 100 fans in the stands. I just can't see it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you never know. I read online today that Russia's got a vaccine that they've pushed through. So
right. Everyone's taking it. It's,
yeah,
it's
no
the new
problem.
Thing over there.
Shot of vodka.
It's a shot of vodka out of a hollowed-out potato.
Just get fired right up and forget what planet you're on.
Shot of vodka and a dart.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
What do you do?
All right, Bob. Well, enjoy the games. I mean, there's double OT going right now. And
that's crazy. This could be the night that Carolina and Boston start at midnight.
Yep. It feels like that is already official, that they're getting pushed back, you know, at least a half an hour, if not more than that. So that's not a surprise, but we'll do it again on Thursday. Great stuff, as always.
Thanks, boys.
Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider.